The knockout stages started in style this evening with an Mbappe masterclass in the Camp Nou.
Mbappe on the hat-trick to his left. There it is, with a brilliant finish. Right-footed across the goalkeeper, bends it in. 4-1, and Kylian Mbappe delivering when it matters most with a Champions League hat-trick.
And it was a welcome return to form for Liverpool in Budapest.
Another slip at the back has let Mane in. Mane to make it 2 to Liverpool. He has! Liverpool striking twice early in the second half. They are in control against Leipzig.
So two superb away wins for the French and English champions to kick off the round of 16. We'll bring you the best analysis and reaction from both of tonight's encounters right here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, and with me to reflect on tonight's two round of 16 first legs are commentators Phil Blacker and Jonathan Beck. Hello gents, we're also joined by European football expert Chris Parrott. What a return to the Champions League action, Chris.
Amazing, and one of the great individual displays in the Champions League we've witnessed. Kylian Mbappe staggering on the pitch that Leo Messi has made his own after the last 15 years. Well, Mbappe just was too good. And, you know, it might end up being Messi's last game at home in the Champions League, barring, you know, change of heart in terms of his contract and a remarkable comeback. But Kylian Mbappe was unplayable.
Time for our three-word match reports. Phil Blacker was commentating on Barcelona 1, Paris Saint-Germain 4. Phil, your magic three words, please.
Probably only need one, actually. I'm going to go with Mbappe, Mbappe, Mbappe. Hat-trick was absolutely stunning and tells the story very neatly, I think.
And Jonathan Beck was watching Leipzig versus Liverpool. Jonathan, your three-word match report, please.
Liverpool punish mistakes. Two bits of sloppiness at the back from Leipzig in the opening 15 minutes of the second half. Two Liverpool goals from Mo Salah and Sadio Mane.
Jonathan, I thought you were going to say Liverpool, Liverpool, Liverpool there. I was just waiting for that. OK, confirmed round of 16 results in from the first leg. Barcelona 1, Paris Saint-Germain 4, RB Leipzig 0, Liverpool 2. But we got to start at the Camp Nou where it was a repeat of that incredible last 16 encounter between Barcelona and Paris Saint-Germain back in 2017. Of course, that 6-1 win for the Blaugrana. Did this one match end in drama too? Phil Blacker describes the action.
They look long here for De Jong, who goes down in the penalty area. Looked like he was clipped, and the referee has given it. The skipper strikes it powerfully left-footed. Perfect penalty into the top corner. It's the first twist in the tail in this tie, and it is Barcelona who lead against Paris Saint-Germain. Lionel Messi from the spot. Kajava cutting it back towards Verratti on the edge of the penalty area. Will it break here? And for Mbappe, he's done brilliantly to bring it down and find the finish. Thunders it in with genuine power, and Barcelona's lead did not last long. Paris might be in this time with a long ball forward towards Florenzi. Gets on the end of it. It's cut back towards Mbappe, who thumps it in, and he's done it again. It's Kylian Mbappe for Paris Saint-Germain, and they have turned it around at the Camp Nou. Awaiting the delivery from the Argentinian. It's a good one as well, and there's the header from Moise Keane, and it is 3-1. It's a second goal in quick succession for the French champions. Julian Draxler through the middle, options either side, Mbappe on the hat-trick to his left. There it is, with a brilliant finish. Right-footed across the goalkeeper, bends it in, 4-1. Paris Saint-Germain and Kylian Mbappe delivering when it matters most with a Champions League hat-trick.
Commentator Phil Blacker is with us now. Phil, Barcelona are going to need another comeback, just like they needed in 2017 against Paris Saint-Germain. But Phil, that's even less likely this time.
I would agree with you, Rob. Yeah, the remontada would need to be topped, I think, wouldn't it? Even though the first leg deficit this time is 4-1 as opposed to 4-0. But crucially, this time it was on their own turf. I know in front of the empty stands, but Barcelona's imperious record at the Camp Nou for so long in the Champions League. It stretched to 38 games before that match day 6 defeat at home to Juventus last time out in the competition here. When qualification was already assured, this is a very different different story, and not just the defeat, but the nature of it. It could have been more as well with the performance that Paris put in. They had opportunities. Barca, I don't think, played particularly badly for long spells of the game. They just couldn't deal with Kylian Mbappe, and Paris had too much for them in attack. Barcelona had multiple opportunities of their own, having, of course, gone in front in the game. But this is a worrying setback for a side, maybe at the start of a new cycle under Ronald Koeman, but memories, of course, of that defeat and the manner of it against Bayern still fresh in the quarterfinals last season, the thumping that they suffered in that game, and now to be beaten so heavily again, this time at home by Paris Saint-Germain, will open scars again, perhaps ahead of the return trip to the French capital in 3 weeks' time. How they quite recover their composure after this, I'm not sure. They will reflect on periods of a positive play, certainly, but Paris Saint-Germain really did, I think, go up another gear with this display. And Maurizio Pochettino's first match as manager for them in the Champions League, in a season where domestically they haven't been at their all-conquering best. When it mattered most in this competition, the competition that does matter most to them, they were absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it was in his first match in charge. It was one of Paris's greatest ever victories in European competition, I think. You know, this is a side who last season reached the final to end their round of 16 hoodoo. And tonight, they look like the seasoned Champions League winners, not Barcelona. And I think Barca, who have been showing nice signs of recovery and improving recently, but, you know, the accusation was that still in the big games against the real quality opposition in Spain, they haven't been able to compete. Well, I think tonight Ronald Koeman will reflect on just how far Barcelona are now away from Europe's real elite. And I think we can include Paris in that, given that they were 90 minutes away from winning it back in August. And I mean, they have taken a giant step towards the quarterfinals. And I mean, yeah, Kylian Mbappe, how long have we got? 21 minutes left. We could fill it with superlatives about his performance.
All right, well, let's get into it. Kylian Mbappe tonight, 3 goals, stunning finishing, 22, I think, we said on the show, just turned 22. And by the way, by some way, the top French scorer in knockout football in Champions League history is Karim Benzema, then Henri, then Kylian Mbappe. He's not far behind those two.
No.
You know, two of the greatest French strikers of the 21st century.
He's already won the World Cup. I mean, Phil was mentioning it in the commentary. He had gone almost a year without a goal in the Champions League, which seems ludicrous given his record. But we all know about his searing pace, his utter confidence that he can beat any defender in a one-on-one situation. And poor old Sergiño Dest couldn't live with him and was eventually hooked off after 70-odd minutes. But how emphatic the finishes were, I think. You know, the first one just to beat his man and then whack it home from close range, that was really clever. The second was composed when perhaps Barcelona thought the offside flag was going to go up. It didn't correctly, but he didn't care. He just put it in and said, well, we'll think about the VAR check after that. But then the third one was, it was an amazing counter-attack. But the way he finished it, right-footed into the top corner, was a guy supremely talented, having probably, I mean, World Cup final will be his top evening, but this one won't be far off. And the way he just carried that match ball off at the end was something to behold.
It shows, I think, Chris, doesn't it, the confidence that he has right now. And this is a season where, let's not forget at times, by the standards that he set, I think he's come in for a bit of criticism. You can debate how fair or unfair that has been this season. But when it really mattered tonight in this competition, he stepped up as if he owned the stage. And I think the celebration for the hat-trick goal encapsulated that. But it was the instinctive nature of his finishing, which we don't necessarily always see. He's got all the physical attributes, and they're usually on display, the incredible pace. You know, when he's struggled with injuries at times, and there have been little periods in his career where that's been the case, maybe he's just taken a split second too long to get the shot away, or overthought things at times, perhaps during that year that you alluded to when he went without a goal in the Champions League. Absolutely none of that in this performance. Knew exactly what he wanted to do, perhaps even before the opportunity fell at his feet, and he was instinctive in the way that he took those goals. He was at his absolutely brilliant best, and this is a player still with years and years ahead of him, and the potential scarier thought as it is right now to get even better.
Yeah, and talking about scary thoughts, after the game, all of the talk to Kylian Mbappe was all about his future, of course, because his contract's up at the end of next season. And he's in discussions about renewing it. Every single Paris Saint-Germain fan, if they weren't desperate for him to stay before tonight, my word, they certainly will be now.
Some start as well from Mauricio Pochettino. He's had some great wins at the Camp Nou. His first ever win as Espanyol boss was away at their city rivals Barcelona, February 2009. He said, "I don't know how we did it." They drew Spurs at Barca in December 2018, en route to the final at the end of the group stage. They had to draw that game to qualify for the round of 16. And now tonight, his first European game in charge of Paris Saint-Germain ends in a victory at Barcelona. Let's hear from the visiting side's midfielder, Ander Herrera.
"We are very happy. I think we deserve the victory. Even though they scored the first goal and they had one good chance with Griezmann, I think, in the first half, we came back very well. We didn't lose our game plan. I think we controlled the game. We deserved the victory. It's true also that we were very clinical. But when you have players like Kylian, like Mauro, like Moyes, like Di Maria, Ney, you have more chances to score the chances that you have. So we are very happy, but it's only halfway. I know very well this club because I have played here a lot of times when I was in Spain. And against Barcelona, against Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, these kind of clubs, you can never say that you are already qualified. We have to respect them. They are a top club, top team. They have players that they can win one game 3-0. So we have to respect them and do our job."
And certainly, judging by the comebacks we've seen in recent Champions League history, nothing is impossible. But for Barcelona tonight, Phil, I mean, it was actually a very entertaining, it felt even, first half. So what exactly happened to Barcelona to let that game run away?
I think Mbappe, you could argue, was almost the difference on his own. And that's to take nothing away from the rest of the Paris Saint-Germain performance, because they were hugely well drilled under Pochettino. They all played an important part. They all did their jobs to provide the platform for Mbappe. But when you're talking about a game at this level of players of this calibre, there's so little between them at the start. And that was the case for much of the first half. It was only really late in the first half I felt that Paris got themselves on top in the game and looked like they were going to go on and win it. And then Mbappe really took over. But it was an occasion where he delivered that moment of magic, that outstanding individual performance. But he was afforded the chance to do that by the organisation, by the desire around him. I think, although there weren't too many players involved who suffered at Camp Nou in the previous visit 4 years ago, I do feel that as a club they maybe felt what happened there was something that they needed to atone for. I'm sure that there would have been a lot of discussion in the dressing room about the opportunity to do that and how they delivered that. But for Barcelona, who, let's not forget, have reached the quarterfinals of this competition, that's 13 years running, now on the brink of elimination, as of course they were against Paris 4 years ago, they couldn't deal with Mbappe. They just didn't take their chances either. That was the other key thing, because had one or two of those gone in at the other end, then there's still every chance for them, I think, at the Parc des Princes. But whereas Mbappe was clinical, Barcelona fashioned openings, not necessarily missing clear-cut chances, but the final ball perhaps wasn't quite there. Crosses into the box just missed the intended target by a fraction. They weren't off by much, but that is all it takes in a match with the margins as fine as this one.
And I think they are struggling at the moment to absolutely get the balance right. We've seen them try and play more of a pressing game over the last 12 months. It doesn't look very Barcelona, but it's very 2021 to need to do that. And I think Paris worked that out and managed to get Florenzi and Kujawa, the two fullbacks, high up the pitch with nobody tracking them. That directly led to two of the goals. So credit to Mauricio Pochettino for finding a way to really get beyond Barcelona. And Mbappe got three of the goals. The other goal scorer I think we should quickly talk about, because I thought Moise Akeem was excellent in his all-round display, and his header from a sumptuous free kick was another big part of Paris's win.
The return leg in the French capital, Wednesday the 10th of March, Paris will take a 4-1 aggregate lead back home. The other round of 16 ties saw Leipzig host Liverpool in Budapest. Jonathan Beck, watch this one.
Oh, it's a mistake at the back from Leipzig, and Liverpool are in here, and Liverpool have scored with Salah. Leipzig lost the ball, Mo Salah took advantage, in behind and slotting it into the corner with the left foot. We've only played 7.5 minutes of the second half, and Liverpool have a vital away goal in Budapest. It is Leipzig 0, Liverpool 1. Stabbed long by Curtis Jones, and another slip at the back has let Mane in. Mane to make it 2 to Liverpool. He has! Liverpool striking twice early in the second half. Two defensive mistakes, two Liverpool goals, two away goals. They are in control against Leipzig.
A very commanding advantage for Liverpool. Let's speak to our commentator for this one, Jonathan Beck. Jonathan, as you mentioned, a couple of individual errors. Probably worth breaking down exactly what happened to present those two one-on-one chances for Liverpool.
Yeah, well, the first one, Marcel Sabitzer played the ball back. He was standing about 10, 15 metres outside his area, played it back to Lucas Klostermann, who didn't get there, didn't anticipate it, slipped and let in Mo Salah, who clipped the ball into the bottom right-hand corner. The second, 5 minutes later, a simple long ball out from the back by Curtis Jones, and Nordi Mukiele lost it. It was dropping over his shoulder. He turned, tried to clear it, slipped. Mane was right behind him and ran in and clipped a right-footed shot past Petr Gulácsi. And that was that. Liverpool's only two shots on goal in the second half, and that was all they needed, really, for a comfortable win in the end.
OK, let's hear from the Liverpool camp. And first, Sadio Mane, who feels confidence has returned to the side.
This win tonight is really important for us, and it's another motivation for us. But we won't be flying like say well, all our back and the midfield and the striker. We still need time and keep believing, give our best every single game. I think today we showed the character, which is really important to say, well, we can lose, but we can win as well.
Mane with the second goal tonight for Liverpool. Meanwhile, their captain, Jordan Henderson, who played as centre-back again, felt his side's two goals were just rewards for putting Leipzig under so much pressure.
It was good to be able to get the create the chances. Yes, would have liked to finish them, but I thought the lads reacted well. We kept going, kept probing, and finally got our reward with the goals. So really happy overall. I think we've got to be pleased with that because Leipzig are a very good side. But like I said, it's only half job done. I thought the press really well from the front and then won it back twice with the pressing and got the rewards with the goals in the end.
For a Liverpool side that hasn't had the best away record in the Champions League in recent times, barring that incredible win at Atalanta in the group stage, it was a notable victory. Is Jordan Henderson right there, Jonathan Beck? Did Liverpool do all the right things to force those mistakes and earn the win?
I think so, yeah. The pace at times was absolutely frantic. Although there were no goals in the first half, the pressing from both sides, the desire to win the ball back high up the field and then move it quickly was there for all to see. And Liverpool got joy in down the sides of the back three of Leipzig, Nordi Mukiele on one side and Klostermann on the other. Ironically, they were the two to make the mistakes in the second half, but the pressure that they had and the runs from Salah and Mane in behind them were a warning, really, of what was going to come. Mane, now 20 goals in Europe for Liverpool. He's pulled level with Ian Rush. He's in the top five European goal scorers. Salah moved on to 24. And overall, a good night. You know, Liverpool have struggled in the Premier League. Three straight home defeats, having had that huge 68-game run without being beaten at home. Three straight league defeats and 30 points worse off than at this stage last season. But this could be a competition that will give them a little shot in the arm, a little boost ahead of a tricky period.
Yeah, and I think of those goals for Mane that Jonathan just mentioned, 11 goals in 17 knockout stage matches. Now, that most definitely is scoring when it matters most. And I think, certainly at times this season, he has looked the most dangerous member of that front three. But, you know, from Liverpool's point of view, come back to a quote from Julian Nagelsmann before the game when he said, don't worry about their Premier League form, this is the Champions League, it's a different competition. And they almost, from what I saw, had bit of freshness about them, and some of those frustrations in the Premier League that might have built up, they didn't need to worry about them in European competition, and they'll believe in that dressing room that they can reach a third final under Jurgen Klopp.
Let's hear from the German coach of Liverpool.
What's the game we wanted? It was the game we needed tonight. Leipzig can be a real monster. The way they play in the Bundesliga, they overrun teams, they are really physical, they're pretty much good in everything, and tonight we controlled them in a way, in an exceptional way, to be honest. So they had their moments, of course, because of the quality they have, but we had played a really good game, and so yes, tonight I think we got the result we deserved.
I'm sure even Jurgen Klopp would be hesitant to call this a sort of turnaround result, because we did see Jonathan Rhys lead the wins against Spurs and West Ham. I think Liverpool fans thought those were the results to kickstart their second half of the season. But for a man who was clearly emotional the weekend, teared up as he conceded that his side would not defend the title, that was a big win tonight for Liverpool.
Yeah, it was. He talked about keeping the good things going. You know, they weren't that bad against Manchester City and Leicester. They certainly didn't look like a side that were about to, as he said, concede seven and score only two. But, you know, the way through it, he said, was with good football. They're Liverpool. They have to be dominant. They can't do what some sides do. And he said, sit back and wait an hour before getting over the halfway line. They have to be dominant. And they were. You know, they were two sides really going for it, going head to head. And he's closing in on Ottmar Hitzfeld's record now in terms of most Champions League matches won among German managers. He's on 42. Hitzfeld on 47. So, yeah, I mean, let's not talk about it as a false dawn just yet, given the results that they saw previously on the back of three straight defeats in the Premier League. But, as Chris said, you know, a shot in the arm. This is a Liverpool side who know how to win in Europe in previous games. You know, had they got past Atletico last season, who knows how far they might have gone. And that was a tight one, wasn't it? So we'll wait and see. You know, it'll be a big job for Leipzig to turn this one around at Anfield, but they'll have to believe they can.
Jonathan, thank you. Jonathan, Phil and Chris with me on Match Day Live as we look ahead now to Wednesday's games in the round of 16, starting with Porto versus Juventus from the Dragao. It is our feature commentary on the show on Wednesday night. And Chris, Paulo Dybala out for the Bianconeri and a notable absentee in defence too.
Yeah, Leonardo Bonucci for maybe up to 20 days. So it'll be Chiellini and De Ligt as the back two, you would imagine. Certainly a blow, someone of his experience. I just wonder what Cristiano Ronaldo sat in his hotel room in his native Portugal would have made of Kylian Mbappe's performance. It would be very him. With all the talk about the new generational talent of Mbappe, for him to step forward again and fire Juve back to the quarterfinals, of course, they exited to Lyon in disappointing fashion at this stage last season, and Andrea Pirlo cannot afford for that to happen again.
Now, there is pressure on him in that respect, isn't there? But I alluded to it at the start. I just got a sneaky feeling that this could be a year for Juve in this competition. Their dominance hasn't been there in Serie A this season. They've got ground to make up on both the Milan clubs. It looked like certainly since the turn of the year that they'd been tightening up a little bit, only to suffer another setback at the weekend. But I do feel that circumstances may be aligning where they could have a real run at this competition, and we all know how much it would mean to them.
So Juve at Porto, the other tie sees Dortmund travel to Seville to take on a Sevilla side that have enjoyed a run of straight domestic wins, their best run in 13 years. Let's hear from Dortmund's young star striker Erling Braut Haaland. The Norwegian got four goals during the group stages and is expecting even more in the knockouts.
I go into to games and trying to do all the other right things, and if I do all the things very well, if I position myself good, if I do this good, I know that the goals will come, you know. So if I'm fully focused and if I'm concentrated on doing the right things, the goals will come. It's a special competition, so I don't know what's happening in my head, but it's like it's turning on a little bit more when it comes to Champions League.
Full-length interview with Haaland coming up on tomorrow night's show. It does feel like maybe him and Mbappe, yeah. Chris, are becoming the new superstars of world football.
Yeah, and two thrilling players to watch, let's be honest. And, his stats are ridiculous since the start of last season. And it was only last season that he first graced this Champions League stage. But you mentioned Sevilla's run seven straight clean sheets, so they're going to have to be very good, Dortmund. And domestically, there have been problems. They've got a new coach coming in Marco Rosa. That's been confirmed for the summer. But both these sides, I think, on people's dark horses lists, maybe to go deep into this competition, the fact they meet in the last 16, I think it's a pretty intriguing tie. And Jesus Navas is fit for Sevilla, so that's certainly a boost.
Certainly is. OK, so we'll have reports on that game tomorrow night, goal updates from Sevilla versus Borussia Dortmund. Sevilla finishing second in their group to Chelsea, while Dortmund won Group F ahead of Lazio, who take on Bayern next week. Let's turn our attention back to tonight's action. Barca 1, Paris Saint-Germain 4, Leipzig 0, Liverpool 2. Plenty more reaction coming in on the show. Kylian Mbappe's hat-trick means that Paris Saint-Germain becomes the first French side to win at the Camp Nou in Champions League history. And in truth, prior to even the Juve win, I want to say, Chris, in the group stage, Barca had a ridiculous home record in the Champions. They don't really lose at home in the Champions League.
No, they don't. And just the third player ever to score a European hat-trick for a visiting team, and the first since Andrei Shevchenko, who, when he scored for Dynamo Kiev, apparently was a year younger than Kylian Mbappe. And, of course, that catapulted him onto an extraordinary career. And, well, Mbappe's already won a lot in his tender years, and something tells me he's going to win a lot more too.
There was an iconic image, Phil, from the game where Gerard Piqué was trying to catch Kylian Mbappe, and it's sort of doing the rounds now as a photo on social media of him pulling his shirt back. I mean, for Piqué tonight, they threw him back in for the first time in 3 months. It was a very, very tough game to come back into first team football.
I mean, talk about a thankless task in that respect. And I think, you know, we're always aware, of course, of the danger of Mbappe, and I think that was a primary reason why Ronald Koeman wanted Piqué back in the side. And you certainly can't point the finger of blame at him as an individual as to why the scoreline ended up as it was. In fact, at times, I think in that first half, there were reasons why Piqué showed that he was recalled and impressed, and had he not been there, it might have been even worse. But I do think it shows the issues for Barcelona go a little bit deeper, but also I don't think you could find probably a defender in world football who could have dealt with Mbappe effectively tonight, given the form that he was in on this one night.
Have we even mentioned Neymar?
No. Or Di Maria.
Which says it all, really, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, you know, it was supposed to be Neymar's big night back at Barcelona, injured for the game. OK, let's go for man of the matches. Mbappe's not allowed, by the way, because I think we can all agree Kylian Mbappe was the man of the match. So let's all go throughout around the whole panel and get explainers as well as to your man of the match. Phil, you can get us going.
Well, beyond Mbappe, you could make a case for a number for Paris Saint-Germain. I would go with Moise Keane, not just because he also, of course, got on the score sheet, but I thought his all-round game was excellent. He provided a threat at one end, he did his defensive job at the other as well, and really showed why that perhaps one decision that Pochettino had to make, I think he got spot on with his inclusion.
This is really boring, but I think it has to be Keane as well. I thought he was excellent. He shows why Pochettino trusts him, finished his chance very, very well. And if Neymar is not fit, and if Di Maria aren't fit, or even if they are for the second leg, he may well start again.
And Jonathan Beck.
Well, it was nice to see Ozan Kabak have a good game at the back, a clean sheet on his Champions League debut for Liverpool after the problems he had against Leicester City. But I'm going to go for Sadio Mane, who gave Nuri Mukiele a tough time all night, scored the all-important second, and was just a dynamo all of the 90 minutes.
Gents, thank you very much for your company. That's all we have time for this evening. We'll be back on Wednesday, the 17th of February from 8 p.m. CET for more round of 16 action, full commentary of Porto against Juventus, as well as live updates from Sevilla versus Dortmund. And don't forget to download our podcast shortly after every match, Nate, via your favourite podcast provider. But for now, from me and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.